Happy Friday, everyone. I hope you're looking forward to a great weekend, especially looking forward to spending time with your brothers and sisters in Christ at your home congregation. If you don't have one, find one quick. Get plugged in there. Stay plugged in there. As I often say, if you're looking for a home congregation right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, please come and check us out. See whether or not you could become part of our family. We'd love to worship and fellowship and praise and pray and study and serve together with you. We're in the addendum, the added section of the book of Proverbs. That's Proverbs chapters 25 through 31. They start out with the Proverbs of Solomon that Hezekiah's men put together. My suspicion is that Hezekiah re-released Solomon's Proverbs in written form along with these additional Proverbs during his own kingdom because he wanted to promote wisdom, because it is part of the believer's lifestyle to try to make good choices in life. And that's what Proverbs are intended to help us do. So let's gather around the table again or, you know, be in the car together and just talk about some of these wise sayings. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 10. Whoever misleads the upright into an evil way will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will have a goodly inheritance. So when you try to take advantage of and mislead good people to try to get them in trouble, sometimes God is going to let that backfire and cause you trouble. You know, you dug the pit to try to trap somebody and take advantage of them, and instead of that happening, you got into the pit. That's a boomerang effect. Sometimes people will say it's karma. But it is in the book of Proverbs all about God stepping in. And so the blameless people, the righteous people, are the ones that God's going to work with and give them a goodly inheritance. Verse 11. A rich man is wise in his own eyes. And that is true for a lot of rich people, is they think they are rich because they're smart and they deserve all the accolades. But this proverb goes on to remind us, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out. So sometimes being poor, you end up being more thoughtful about things. You depend more upon God. Maybe you spend more time in His Word. And sometimes you're the one that finds out that the rich people are not so smart, that they're actually involved in stuff that they shouldn't be involved in. It is interesting that from time to time, a poor but wise person saves the life of a rich but foolish person. And I think that's a little bit of what this proverb is getting to. Finances are not what we should judge people on. It's their relationship with God and other people. Verse number 12. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. So when righteous people are in control of situations, control of, the kingdom, for example, in this context, then that's good. That's good for the kingdom. But when somebody that's wicked gets into power, oh boy, time to take shelter. Time to hide things away and be ready to run if needed. Because righteous people tend to attract righteousness. Wicked people tend to attract wickedness. And we don't want to be in that that destruction zone when it falls. Verse 13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, So somebody that is sinning, doing wrong things, and they try to hide it, that's not going to be a guarantee that they'll get away with it. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. One of the most important things for us to do when we have been engaging in bad behavior, in sinful behavior, is to repent. I mean, that's true. We need to change the way we're thinking about stuff and start thinking of them the way of God. But we also need to confess. We need to acknowledge. We need to admit, I did wrong. And sometimes that confession needs to be made to other people that we've done things to. We have the need to make it right, to make restitution. And so that is going to cause us to obtain mercy from God. Because if we, this is part of the prayer, the model prayer, if we expect God to forgive us our sins, we need to have already forgiven the sins of others. We need to have been the better people. And so confession is good for our soul. It's good for the person we're confessing to. And it's good because God sees our attitude has changed. And so have other people. Verse 14. Blessed is the one who fears he who is always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's also the beginning of blessing, because God welcomes us into his family, and that family has got, well, a lot of people in it, and they help out each other. But a person who hardens his heart against God, you know, the fool, they're going to get in trouble sooner or later. If not in this world, in the world to come. Verse 15, like a roaring lion. That'd be scary, you know, to see a roaring lion out in the wild, or a charging bear. Nobody wants to be charged by a bear in the wilderness. So like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. So you got a wicked, more than likely, selfish and greedy ruler in charge of a country. Well, the poor people in that, they might as well have been mauled by a lion or a bear, because it's going to be bad. A ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. The lacking understanding here does not mean stupid. I mean, it could, I suppose, but I think the bigger contextual point is that they don't understand how things are supposed to be by God's standard. They're not using God's word, God's way. And so they end up being cruel oppressors. But a righteous person in leadership hates unfairness, hates unjust gain, greediness. And so it's better when they stay longer on the throne, isn't it? Verse 17, if one is burdened with the blood of another, meaning you're guilty of killing somebody, he will be a fugitive until death. Let no one help him. Two possible ways of thinking of this. One of them is murder. So if they murder somebody and they're on the run, nobody should be helping them. They should instead be turning them in. But the other way of thinking of this is they might be guilty of manslaughter, accidental death. And we know that in the Israeli context, that those types of people had to go to one of the cities of refuge, and they had to go under trial to decide whether they were, you know, accountable for that person's death. It's possible that they might have neglected to take proper care to avoid the death of somebody in that situation. And so some of those people ended up basically being under house arrest or under city arrest for the rest of their life. It was until the death of the next high priest, or until the death of the current high priest, and the new high priest came into power. And so, yeah, guilt is carried even by those who, through foolish actions or inattentiveness, have caused the death of another person. Verse 18. Whoever walks in integrity will be delivered. You know, integrity is having the proper mindset, doing things God's way, right? Always being fair. So whoever walks in that way is going to be delivered. God's going to make sure everything turns out for them. But he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. So people who are only about themselves, only about greed, that's going to catch up with them eventually. If not in this life, certainly in judgment. God will find them out. Verse 19. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. This is a attitude for work. Not being lazy, but applying yourself. If you get out and put in, you know, hard day's work for a hard day's pay, then you're going to have what you need to get what you have to live on. That's the idea. If you're just goofing, not taking care of business, then yeah, that's going to get you a whole handful of nothing. Verse number 20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So the faithful man in this context is somebody that can be trusted to do, like I was just talking about, a hard day's work for a good day's pay. So a faithful man will be blessed because he's applying himself. But a person who's looking to get rich quick, you know, take the shortcuts, take advantage of people, steal. Well, yeah, that's going to catch up with them too. Eventually God, if not the authorities, are going to deal with that cheat. Verse 21, to show partiality is not good, but for a piece of bread, a man will do wrong. Two-sided proverb here. The first one is the reminder that we always have to be 100% fair. So we don't show partiality to a rich person in order to, you know, get some money out of them, a bribe. That's not right. But we don't show partiality to a poor person either, you know, out of pity for them. You know, yeah, they definitely did the crime, but I don't want them to have to do any type of I don't know, punishment for what they did. So I'm gonna go against the verdict. That's not right. That's not fair. Justice is supposed to be blind, and those who are applying justice have to be blind. So that's the first part of it. Showing partiality, either direction, rich or poor, is not right. The second part, though, is a reminder that some people are so out of it, so poor, so impoverished, that they are easily bribed to do the wrong thing. That a starving person will do something immoral if you promise them something to eat or something to make their life better. And that's not good to take advantage of people in that situation. Because we're talking about wrong things. It would be like going to an impoverished person and giving them a gun and saying, I need you to kill this guy and I'll buy you a dinner. Otherwise, you're going to starve to death. Well, that would be wrong because you're taking advantage of the person as well as murdering the other person. Verse 22. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. So we got somebody here that's greedy. They want more. and they're not generous. They don't share well, and all they want is more. And they don't even realize that this is going to end poorly. If not in this world, then they will be poor in the world to come, in the sense of they will be shut out from the fellowship of the saints. They'll be shut out from the fellowship with God. That's extreme poverty, isn't it? Verse 23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor. Now, that this goes in the context of, you know, faithful friend, faithful wounds of a friend, right? That sometimes we have to get after people or be gotten after by our friends because something is wrong. And we thank people for that, right? Thank you. Yeah, it didn't feel good you were chewing me out. It didn't feel good you were telling me that I was doing a stupid thing, but you were right, I was wrong, and I see that now. Thank you for waving me off. I appreciate it, right? So whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Yes, people. People who are constantly blowing smoke. People who are constantly being sycophants. Who are always telling their boss, oh, you're so smart, you're so wise. The sun rises and sets upon you. You've never done anything wrong. Wow. That's not good. We don't need people like that, okay? We need more people that will tell you when you've done the wrong thing because they love you and they want what's best for you. A person, by the way, who won't accept criticism from their friends, from those that care about them, they've got a serious problem. It's more than likely an ego problem. Verse number 24. Whoever robs his father or his mother, and then says, oh, that's no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. Every time I read this proverb, I immediately think of Jesus' critique of the Pharisees, where he gets after them because they're being nitpicky about little traditional observances like washing of hands and Jesus healing people on the Sabbath day. And he says, you know what? You engage in all sorts of inappropriate behavior. Among them is this. You allow a man to basically turn his parents out. He declares that any financial support for them that he had was korban, that is, off limits because it's devoted to God. And so, basically, a person who robs from his father and his mother's future support and then says, ah, no, I didn't do anything wrong. It's perfectly fine. It's korban. It's set aside for God. Well, those types of people who would manipulate family situations, family relationships, is they're just like a person who's in the company of a bunch of brigands, a bunch of thugs, of thieves, of robbers, a man who destroys. Verse 25. And by the way, I remind you again, the purpose of a lot of these proverbs is not just simply avoid people that are bad. It's also don't be one of the bad people. If you have tendencies this way, knock it off. Come to heel. Repent and come back home to God. Do things God's way. Verse 25. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in he who is will be enriched. So greedy people often stir the pot because they think they see in it some way that they'll get financial gain out of it. But a person who's putting all their trust in God, they're the ones that are truly going to be wealthy. They won't necessarily be wealthy in monetary ways, in wealth ways, but they will be wealthy in where it counts, relationship with God, relationship with God's people. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. You know, many people who are foolish think that they know everything about everything and that nobody knows as much as they know. Nobody is an expert. They're the smartest person in the room, always. Well, that's seldom the case. The proverb warns, if you've got this idea that you're the only one that has information you can trust, then you're a fool. A person who walks in God's wisdom, because I think that's what's intended here when it says walks in wisdom, walks in God's word, they're going to be delivered. They're the ones that are going to be best off as life progresses. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. The idea here is that in every society, in every frame of reference, every circle of acquaintances, there are people who, through no fault of their own, have problems. They're in trouble. And it's our responsibility, those of us that know them, to help them out somehow. Now, we need to help them out in such a way that they don't fall back into the problem, but we do need to care. And so a person who has that attitude and gives into those situations, they themselves will never have a problem that somebody else doesn't step in and help them with, because what goes around comes around, in a positive sense this time. The merciful will be shown mercy, right? But if you see people in those circumstances and you have the ability to help them out and you turn your eyes the other way, you ignore them, you don't take their phone calls, you refuse them any assistance, then, well, again, what goes around comes around in a negative sense as well. You'll end up coming under the curse of God, not just simply the curse of those people. Verse 28, when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. We've seen that exact wording already. And when they perish, the righteous increase. So when wicked people are on the ascendancy, people start thinking, I got to get out of the way. These guys are going to bring trouble with them. But when they're on the decline, when they are starting to become less in number, then we start seeing more righteous people come to the forefront and take leadership roles. And that's good. That's much preferred. Chapter 29. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. There are some people that no matter how many times they get told, knock it off, they just keep doing the wrong thing. And sooner or later, this proverb says, they are going to be brought to heel. Sometimes they're going to end up in jail or prison. Sometimes they will lose relationships, jobs, finances. But the ultimate thing that may happen to some of these people is they'll lose their eternal soul. They will come to the end of life with a loss of salvation because all they seem to be cared about is themselves. And no matter what people did to try to wave them off, eventually God's the one that had to deal with them. Not a pleasant thing to think of, but a lot of these proverbs are lessons to be learned from the negative. Verse 2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. That goes back to verse 28 of the previous, right? But when the wicked rule, the people groan. We want good people in leadership, And when I say good people, I mean genuinely righteous people. People who don't just put on a front, people who actually live God's way from the heart. That should make us happy when those type of people are in charge. When frauds and wannabes and genuinely evil people are in control, wow, look out. Nothing but trouble coming from that. Verse number 3. He who loves wisdom makes his father glad. Yes, parents whose children love God's word, love God's wisdom. Yes, that makes us happy. But a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. You know, that immediately makes me think of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. The young man who goes to his dad and says, effectively, I'm not waiting around here until you croak. I want my inheritance now. I want to enjoy it now. And he takes it out and he squanders it. He becomes a companion of probably prostitutes. He squanders his wealth and he ends up in the pig pen and wishing he could fill himself with the pig food. Now, of course, we love the way that the story ends because eventually he repents, he gets his act together, he realizes he needed to love wisdom and love his father, and he went back home and he apologized. And God took him, that is, his father took him back. And of course, it is a parable about God, where we, in our sin, have squandered the blessings of God. And we end up facing nothing but trouble. But then we realize, in Jesus, I can come home. I hope that you will help many other people find their way back home. Love wisdom. Take people home.